anytime you need it.
Just grab it.
That's exactly what she said.
Whoa.
That's what he said. Everybody, welcome to the third installment of your favorite podcast, The Paranormal Peeps. Yay!
Yay!
Thanks for finding us here on your favorite podcast platform. Hey, so we just want to thank all of our listeners. I'm glad you guys weren't so repulsed the last two episodes, and you decided to come back. So that's pretty cool. Josh, tell us about some of our. We actually have a review, I think, already, which was really cool. And then we've got some new listeners, international again, which is really cool.
Hey, I'm back.
And we apparently have some inside jokes going on.
No, you just
they all
off.
Laugh at me.
You caught me off guard. You're like, we have a review.
And he's like, we do? Elisa has it.
Oh, Elisa has it. Saves the day. Elisa, do you want to read it?
Yeah, sure. Now, this is from Smokey Boy number one.
Hey, Smokey.
Glad I came across this podcast. It's so fun to listen to. Chemistry of this group is awesome, and they really know what they're talking about. That's right. Keep up the great work! Exclamation point.
Wow, thanks, Smokey Boy.
Smokey, I think I'm going to correct you. It's not necessarily chemistry, it's the biology. And it, yeah.
He sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, he sounds like a cool guy.
Sounds amazing.
Smokey, private message us. We'll get you out on a ghost hunt with us. Anyway...
We also want to give a shout out to our international listeners in France and Holland.
Woo!
Go France, go Holland.
Yeah.
And our favorite friends in New Jersey. We're going to get some listeners in New Jersey.
Yeah, I think we.
And they're all going to be like, hey, what's up, yo?
Can we record the whole episode talking with a New Jersey accent?
You're the only one that watches all those reality shows from New Jersey. She's all about Jersey Shore and all those shows like that, and so.
Welcome back, Terry.
Hi. Yeah, I'm here. I'm alive.
Can you throw us out a
I'm vaccinated.
New Jersey accent?
No. Oh.
Terry survived the vaccine process.
Nice.
She's now pure and whole. Well, she's vaccinated. We'll give her that. But she is back, and she is our resident expert on New Jersey TV shows. She watches stuff like Jersey Shore, and yeah. So how do they talk to Oh, I put her on the spot. I don't know.
Anyway. Most of them on that show aren't even from New Jersey. They're from New York.
Probably all from California.
From Staten Island.
Isn't Staten Island, like, close to New Jersey?
Yeah.
Well, today we are going to talk about something, a topic near and dear to at least my heart. For the last week and a half. Actually, okay, so the more research I've done on this, the more fascinating I find it, and the more conflicted I am on the validity, okay? So I'm a big skeptic on it. We're going to talk about the Jersey Devil. It used to be called the Leeds Devil, and it's the Jersey Devil. And I've been watching hockey today. Go Golden Knights. And, yeah. So New Jersey Devils on the thing. Plus, Terry's going to tell us about the New Jersey Devils because that's her team.
Yes.
Okay. So, nonetheless. Terry, tell us what a cryptid is.
A cryptid is an obscure, undocumented creature, typically originating from folklore. Typically mythological in nature, but not necessarily supernatural. Their existence is only recognized as pseudoscience.
All right. So, stuff like a Yeti.
Nessie.
Bigfoot. Yeah, Nessie.
Mm-hmm.
Dinosaurs.
Mothman.
Hugh Hefner. Just kidding. Love you, Hugh. He's in heaven. I think. Maybe. He's somewhere. All right, so let's talk about anybody have any exciting things they learned about the Jersey Devils? Now I'm going to keep calling the New Jersey Devil the whole time. Or do you want me just to jump into my notes here?
Okay, I want to pipe in here. So I also heard that this was referred. Yeah, pipe away. I also heard this is referred to. The Jersey Devil is also referred to as a Jabberwocky.
Jabberwocky.
Or a Woozlebug.
Yep.
Are you serious?
That. Yeah,
that's serious.
I did hear that.
Was that on Nickelodeon?
Yeah.
A Woozlebug.
No. Woozlebug. I had to throw that in there because
doesn't that sound like a kids' TV show? Yeah. The Woozlebugs.
The Woozlebugs. Come play with the Woozlebugs.
Right on after the Teletubbies.
Yeah. Interesting.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Jabberwockies, I thought, was something completely different.
Jabberwockies is a dance group in Las Vegas.
It is.
Oh, it is. That's right.
Isn't it on Star Wars 2 or something?
Well, it's in Alice in Wonderland because that's what...
the creator.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I don't know what a Jabberwocky is. Maybe that's a topic for
it's
the
a
next...
Jersey Devil.
Maybe we'll look into that a little bit more. But it is...
doesn't sound like a Jabberwocky is what this is. So this is off... A Jersey Devil is described as... This is the most common definition or description, rather. It's a flying biped, which means it walks on 2 feet. A flying biped with hooves, bat-like wings. The head is either that of a horse or a goat. It does have horns, although... Terry found a reference that said it had antlers, which I thought was interesting. Mm-hmm. So now I'm like thinking this thing with big moose antlers or big. It'd make it harder to fly with like a big rack of antlers on top, you know?
Well, see, and it
like
says.
Like little
it,
goat horns, maybe, but.
Some have said hoofs and some have said clawed feet, too.
Right.
So.
Well, and I saw a clawed front hands mm-hmm. with right. the hoofed feet.
Right, and that's the next line of my thing.
Oh, psychic.
It says small clawed arms and a forked tail. Mm hmm. Similar to a chimera, but only with one head. So
it has like a body of a kangaroo.
Yeah, it's weird.
Very
you
weird.
Know, the
Everybody
descriptions,
just go look it up.
The description's all very, yeah, go Google it. And whatever you find on Google is going to be accurate and true.
100%.
Yep. So there are no credible photos of a Jersey Devil, so... All the information comes from accounts from people who have claimed to see the creature.
Which is probably why there's so many different descriptions of it.
Right, right.
So did you ever read anything, and maybe you said it and I lost you, the texture of like the wings or anything?
Just said bat-like wings.
So I had read somewhere that it said some say that it had scales that like of a snake.
Like a dragon.
Yeah. So can you imagine wings, bat wings with scales of a snake?
It's pterodactyl.
I can imagine a lot of things.
I think
so. Dinosaur.
I need to show you guys a picture of a rattle cow.
Or a Jabberwocky.
Or a Jabberwocky from Star Wars.
It wasn't the name of the dance movie in Alice in Wonderland? Isn't that what you called it? Or wasn't that the dance move that Johnny Depp does in Alice in Wonderland? Nobody's seen it recently enough to
I don't know what the dance move is called.
He was like the Jabberwock or something, and he's just a little weird.
We'll have to have a teen movie night.
All right, so let's get into just some of the background. Before we talk about some of the sightings and some of the amazing things that our friend the Jersey Devil has allegedly done, allegedly being keywords, let's go into some of the background. Right, I'll talk about one of them. So one of them is the Shrouds family of Leeds Point. Yeah, that they had cursed the baby. She had a baby. She didn't want any more kids. She sheltered and the malformed baby away from the townsfolk because it was just hideous. And eventually one night the baby flapped its arms and flew off, never to be seen by the family again.
Hmm.
Okay. Another legend was that it was a curse of retribution because the people of Leeds Point had been cruel to a local minister.
I didn't read that one.
Another one places the creature's birth as Estelville, New Jersey, where Mrs. Leeds, shouted out that the news of her 13th baby, that she hoped it would be a devil, which I don't know why anybody would hope that their kid would be a devil, but oh, whatever.
We all but have those devils.
We believe they are devils, but we yeah, don't hope yeah. for them. So she got her wish, and as the story goes, she discarded the baby in the woods, and it visited her every day. And she would stand in the doorway of her home and shoo it away. Finally, it got the hint and left and flew away.
Hmm.
So another one. So there's so many different ones. Did you have one, Josh?
Yeah. So this is interesting. This is from the actual New Jersey State Pinelands Commission website.
Oh, that's a good one. Hang on one second. We get one more, probably false, or two more false ones in here. Or then maybe they're not false. Maybe they're real. Maybe what you have is real. But I think I know where you're going. So
okay.
One story is that there was a Mother Leeds that was a witch of some kind, and that she legitimately had procreated with the devil himself.
Which, why wouldn't you? I mean,
Well, he's pretty sly looking, you know.
Pretty hot.
He looks a little bit like John Travolta, I think.
Probably has
John Travolta and
like
Tom
that.
Cruise combined.
Yeah.
Yeah. Moves like Jagger. And then another one. Where did it do? Another origin story was that of a young girl who fell in love and got pregnant by an English soldier during the Revolution. And that this was seen by the town as treason. And she and the baby were cursed by the town. However, the timeline for that one doesn't add up for me. Because if it's during the Revolution is in the 1760s and 70s. And even into the 80s.
And this was earlier 1700s, right?
That this was kind of boring. This is all like early, like 1732, 1735-ish is where the first records and reports were coming from. So I'm going to throw out the Revolutionary War story because I think that one just doesn't quite make sense. Josh, tell us what you got.
Okay, so from the official website of the Pinelands Commission for the state of New Jersey, says the creature is believed to be the unwanted 13th child of Mother Leeds. According to those in the know, Mother Leeds, before the birth of her 13th child, declared that she wished the devil would take the child away after it was born. At birth, the child suddenly changed into the ugliest of creatures and flew away into the vast darkness of the Pinelands.
So she didn't think it was the devil, and she knew her husband wasn't. She just wanted, why take the kid away? What if he's like the best looking and smartest one?
That's a very good question.
There's superstition about the number 13.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And so did you have more?
Yeah. And so the interesting thing is there's another, I think it's for the actual official state website as well, where they talk about the Jersey Devil. After Mother Leeds had her child, it was born normal, and then it grew and changed, and it grew, sprouted bat wings, and then flew up the chimney. So, and then there's also one other report where it was born with wings.
Which, ouch.
Yeah, right?
Absolutely.
Have you ever seen the miracle
not only
life?
That, but also 13?
Yeah. Yeah.
Ouch.
Maybe by 13, that doesn't matter. That wings don't matter.
It's probably numb. Probably just have nerve damage.
It's like the meaning of Monty Python's Meaning of Life. Just kind of falls out on the floor. It's like, oh.
Yeah.
Get that for me, would you, dear?
That would probably be accurate.
The stories do vary in that whether it was the 6th, 7th, or go ahead.
Oh, no, I kind of had one. I came across this article, and so if it sounds like I'm reading, it's because I am.
Oh.
So Mother Leeds giving birth. After emitting a blood-curdling scream, a demonic whinny, the little rascal dispatched the terrified midwives, meaning it killed them, and then zipped out of the house and vamoosed aloft into the night sky, never to be seen again, except for after last call at the Shore Bar near you, and every All Hallows Eve ever since.
Okay.
There's that whinny.
Okay. Well, there goes the horse head thing. All right, so there was, the stories vary in that it was either the 6th, 7th, 12th, or 13th child, and that it was born either normal and morphed, or that it was born deformed, and it was either kept in an attic or a cellar or placed in the woods. Those are kind of common different stories. So,
yeah, with it being the 13th child, it's very possible that it could have been born with some kind of a disfigurement.
Yeah. So, and that's a very valid point. I mean, I don't know how old the alleged Mother Leeds was, but we do know now that, what is it, after the age of...
35.
30, is it 35?
35.
You know, the chances for deformities or
birth defects
does go up. It doesn't mean they are. They will, but it can happen.
I'm getting close to that then.
So you better...
I'm way past that, honey.
I'm way past that too. As the patriarch of the clan here.
I think I'm older than you.
You just by a hair.
Yeah.
Just a very short hair.
Yeah. Sorry, I just whispered, so don't... That wasn't an EVP.
Whispering for the... Okay. He was originally known as the Leeds Devil, as a combination of his family name as well as the town, which is Leeds Point. But newspapers have printed it many times through the 18th century. Facts are hard to come by. And, you know, the story has been through so many times. There actually was a woman named Jane Leeds that was married to a Daniel Leeds. We're going to go into that a little bit later. But like I said, some of those things that are very common are sorry. There's three common denominators that tie all the legends together. Number one is the description of the creature. You know, they all describe the creature as a similar type of everything. They're all with the bat wings. The hooves are very common. The face, the way the head is, the way it acts, the screech. Number two is the name Leeds. Whether Leeds was the name of the mother or the name of the location of Leeds Point is unclear. But Leeds is a common denominator. Atlanta County historian Alfred Heston believed that the devil could be a Leeds or a Shrouds baby, because I mentioned the Shrouds earlier. And he discovered that there was a Daniel Leeds that opened land in Great Egg Harbor in 1699. His family lived in Leeds Point. He also discovered that there was a Samuel Shrouds Sr. that came to Little Egg Harbor, not to be confused with the Great Egg Harbor, in 1735, and lived right across the river from the house of Mother Leeds, the alleged Leeds. The third thing is that in Burlington, New Jersey, Professor Frank McFadden, and so if he's a professor, he's got to be smart, right?
Yeah.
It just means instant legitimacy. From Copan State College in Baltimore, found that the devil was mentioned in the writings of Burlington as early as 1735. So again, throws out that Revolutionary War story. He also found that the name Burlington is used at the time to identify the area from the actual town of Burlington, which is on the east side of Jersey, right over by towards Philadelphia and Pennsylvania. From the east side of from Burlington, on all the way over to the Atlantic coast, which includes the towns of Leeds Point and Estleville. So at the time, Burlington could have been huge tracts of land. It's very vague. Just like Pine Barrens, right?
Can I just jump in here?
Yes,
so
please.
So there was another Leeds family. In one of the reports that I saw, there were read or whatever, there was another Leeds family who did live in the Leeds Point at the time. So in 1736, they found a will that of a Deborah and Jeffet Leeds, and they had named 12 children in their will. I did find that as well.
That's awesome. Yeah, I heard it. I heard that is Jaffet or Jaffert. I've seen it both ways.
Yeah, Jaffet.
Either way, it doesn't sound like, you know, your common Utah name like we all have here.
No,
not like Isaiah or.
But that
Nephi
is
or
another potential. You know, that Deborah could have been Mother Leeds.
Yep.
Yeah. So there's lots of potential for legitimacy or illegitimacy. All right. Let's go into sightings real quick. Sightings have been pretty much divided up into three time periods. There is the phone angrily thrown onto the table.
Sorry, you have to.
What was that?
Laura, stop copying me, please.
She dropped her phone, so I threw mine. Sorry.
So the sightings have been divided into roughly three time periods. You have the pre-1909, you have January 16th through the 23rd of 1909, and then post-1909.
Why 1909? That's weird.
It's a magic year.
There was like a week of powerful events.
It was almost like COVID because they were shutting down schools.
Yeah, it was powerful.
All because of a Jersey devil.
It was amazing. It was cool. And one other thing I did read, I didn't put in my notes, but I did read, is that it was also believed, and going back, it kind of seems to fit, but it was believed that when the Jersey devil would appear, typically there was a war that was about to happen. But there's had so many more wars throughout history that it's really hard to say that's untrue or true. It just kind of could be a coincidence thing. But, you know, 1909 would be right before World War I, which, you know, obviously took place in New Jersey. And I have no idea why that's there.
Well, but I heard, too, that it was just kind of any sightings were a bad omen, and they feared a bad harvest or a drought or missing livestock or having cows that couldn't provide milk, all of these kind of things.
It would be a good thing when you see something like a demon-looking thing that flying around and screeching.
Yeah, I don't think that would be positive.
Never a good thing. Never denotes chocolates waiting around the corner, you know?
For sure.
It's not what I would think. Let's jump into some of these sightings. Does anybody have any that they want to share? First one I have goes to 1820, but if you've got something.
No, I got 1909.
Okay.
I got 1909 as well.
Okay.
I got an 1820.
Go for it, Laura.
No.
Go fish. Okay, Laura, do it.
So there was no real reliable photos of the creature. And so we're left to the eyewitness descriptions of the creature. And one of the most famous sightings comes from Joseph Bonaparte. Joseph Bonaparte's oldest brother.
Was it Joseph?
Yeah.
He's Napoleon
brother. Napoleon's brother.
Napoleon.
And former king of Spain.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And he
played
swore.
Defense for the New Jersey Devils. Just kidding.
Joseph swore he saw a devilish creature fly by when he was hunting on his estate in 1820 there in Jersey.
Did he have a license to hunt?
It was on his own property, so I think he was okay to hunt without a license.
Hmm. And he was very well respected in New Jersey. It wasn't like he was like, oh, high and mighty, I'm Napoleon's brother.
No.
He was very well respected in New Jersey.
He was rich, too, though.
He was. Well, actually, at one point in time, his residence there got caught on fire, and all of the neighbors and everybody actually went in there and helped save his stuff, and instead of like stealing it and not giving it back to him, they all came back and gave it back to him.
Oh, wow.
So he was very well respected. So for his sighting, a lot of people believed that, you know, what he saw, he really did see.
And that's another thing with most of these sightings is that most of these do come from people who are very reputable. And we'll show that. There are a few that I think are kind of not as reputable.
Questionable at best, huh?
But those are kind of more as we get into the more modern age. These are all in the post-1909 age. We're like, yeah, maybe. Can you really trust anything teenagers tell you?
Never.
Never.
No.
Never. All right. So.
Depends on the teenager.
Before we get to the, let's just go through a little bit more through the pre-1909s. In 1840 to 1841, there were many reports of sheep and chickens that were killed by a creature with a piercing scream and strange tracks, which could be anything. 1859 to 1894, in that period, there were numerous reports of a large creature reportedly carrying off, quote, anything that moved, unquote. In Haddonfield, Bridgeton, and Smithville. Now, Haddonfield, if you remember, is the famous home of Michael Myers, which is coincidence? Maybe. I don't know.
I think not.
No, I think there's something here. There's a connection that's
deep,
aching to be... there's another one that Commodore Stephen Desiter visited the Hanover Mill to inspect some cannonballs that were being made for his ship. And he saw an enormous creature flying above him in a menacing fashion, which I loved the reading, that menacing fashion. He fired a cannon at it, and he supposedly hit it, but it didn't seem to affect it. It flew by unharmed. Every great hunter, every great war person is like, I totally hit it. I did. And it wasn't even affected.
Yeah, he missed. So,
I'm sure he missed. Maybe that's why he needed to inspect the cannonballs, because they were defective rounds. So those are the most... common ones from the pre-1909 era. Josh, tell us what you got for that 1909 Festival of Fun.
Well, Commodore Stephen Decatur was 1909, January 7th.
Was it really? I didn't have a date on that one.
Yeah.
Okay, well, great. Well, then I'm glad I put that there at the end.
Well, we started in 1909. Jamie's was 1909.
So I found this one kind of interesting. So this is May 7th, 1909, and it was featured on the page of the press. They carried a story about a fisherman, which was he was fishing off a rum point, and he claimed he had captured the Jersey Devil after a fierce battle. So what happened was he says he was pulling in from the open sea with his catch of the day shortly before sunrise, and he saw a big winged object flash by his face. It passed, and it was he described it as an immense bird that was bent upon attack. So he told reporters that he barely survived the attack with the winged demon, quoted as saying, "He went at me with his sharp bill," which I find interesting because we've heard it's, you know, head of a horse, kangaroo, and all this other thing. And this is kind of one of the first ones I've seen where it says a sharp bill. So it says he went at me with a sharp bill and his claws. He said he managed to land a lucky blow on him, and the creature fell helpless on the boat on top of his catch. He said he tied the feet and wings with a line and brought him in. So, interesting.
And that's one of the things that is interesting, and that it does, it's like, okay, for how many times people have reported to have captured it or killed it,
exactly.
Yet it's still being sighted, right? you know, by 1909, the legend had spread to all across America. The week of January 16th through the week of January 23rd was a very busy week for the Jersey Devil. Newspapers published hundreds of claimed sightings all over the state. To have hundreds of sightings, okay, that's there's got to be something to that, right? There can't be just. I mean, I don't know. Humans do have a tendency to just kind of go with the herd and just start believing things. I mean, we all know the history of the Salem witch trials, you know, and how everybody started accusing and it just became a big believed mass hysteria thing. But you know, there's a ton of these sightings, and they all seem to match pretty closely to each other. You know, up until then, the sightings had been sporadic and mostly occurred in the same area. Sightings even stretched into Delaware and Maryland. And then the more people heard about it, the more people claimed to have seen it. It led to mass panic where schools and local businesses, like Terry said, were closed. People wanting to stay indoors where it was safe. In fact, even, we'll talk about some of these, but even groups of hunters, vigilantes, and other concerned individuals traveled to New Jersey in search of this creature. You know, wealthy collectors even offered up rewards of up to $10,000, which in 1909 is a lot of money, right?
In 1960, they even had a higher reward for it.
Wasn't it like 250?
Yep.
But in 1909, it was only 10,000.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's it. Ooh, right,
they
there.
Got pictures. Those are cool. They just showed us some wanted pictures.
We can post
wanted
those.
Posters.
We can post them.
You should post those.
We can post them.
Instagram,
Facebook. Instagram. We'll get them posted for you guys.
You know, some people didn't care if it was dead. Some wanted it for their own collections. Others were wanted to donate it to the Philadelphia Zoo. But as you can imagine, with that kind of cash being offered, there were a lot of hoaxes that were popping out of the woodwork. All sorts of animals were handed in, claiming that they'd found the Jersey Devil.
People were actually painting animals and attaching wings to them, trying to turn
it. Was it there like a kangaroo?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's someone even attached wings and claws to the corpse of a kangaroo.
How sad is that?
In hoping that they would get the money.
I'd do it for $10,000.
Let's start the first one, January 17th. This is Saturday night into Sunday. Does somebody else have anything else they want to throw in real quick? So Sunday, January 17th, 1909. Pat Cousins of Woodbury, New Jersey, saw a flying creature with glowing eyes flying down the street. In Bristol, Philadelphia, Jim McCowan heard and saw it on the banks of a canal. Patrolman James Sackfield fired at the creature as it flew away, screaming. E.W. Minister, postmaster of Bristol, Philadelphia, saw a bird-like creature with a horse head that had a very piercing scream. And these are all what happened kind of over through the night. When daylight came, the residents of Bristol found hoof prints in the snow. In fact, two trappers said that they'd never seen tracks like those before. Which leads me to, it's like, if they're really hunters or you know, they know what they're talking about, you can read most animals' hooves, right? It's like, that's a pig, or that's a cow, that's a horse. So if they were, like, sober, which, hard to say, after a long part of Saturday night, you know, they said that they'd never seen tracks like that before. On Monday, almost every yard in Burlington was found to have the same hoof prints in their yards, usually around the trash. Sometimes it was open and half eaten. The prints would go up trees, across roofs, into the middle of the street where they would disappear. And also the same in fields. They would track these tracks and they would just disappear, which would lead to a creature that could fly, right? It kind of walks and then flies away. Flies up to the roof like peacocks would. Several other towns reported the same thing that morning. And a hunt was organized for it, but dogs refused to follow the trail. That's just fascinating to me. That
always trust the animals.
Well, yeah, right.
It's demonic,
right? They knew there was something up. You know, maybe it was aliens. I don't know. But it was, you know, several different towns are reporting the same thing happening. That's pretty big and pretty elaborate to be a hoax, especially in 1909. So, going to Tuesday, January the 19th. So this is the next day, or the day after. Tuesday, January 19th at 2:30 a.m., Mr. and Mrs. Nelson Evans of Gloucester were awakened by a strange noise outside. They watched the creature from their window for 10 minutes. Mr. Evans described it like this. He says, it was about 3, and this is where your Jersey accent comes in, if somebody can do it. It was about 3.5 feet high, and I can't do it. I make him sound like he's from Ireland. It was about 3.5 feet high, with a head like a collie dog and a face like a horse. It had a long neck, wings about 2 feet long, and its back legs were like those of a crane, and it had a horse's hooves. It walked on its back legs, and it held up 2 short front legs with paws on them. It didn't use the front legs while we were watching. My wife and I were scared, I tell you, but I managed to open the window and say, shoo. Shoo. It turned around, barked at me, and then it flew away.
Barked?
It barks now?
Yeah. Well, think of it like when I was reading it, I was thinking like the velociraptors from Jurassic Park, right? Like, rah, rah. I don't know. But then he did say it had like the head of a collie dog, right? Or the head of a collie, but the face of a horse. It's like it's like really weird description.
Breathe, Josh.
And at 2:30 in the morning, you know, has to be right, right? Tuesday afternoon. Are you laughing because I was barking? Do you want more?
No.
Tuesday afternoon, 2 professional hunters. Being professional means they get paid for it, right? They don't just give it up for free. 2 professional hunters tracked the devil for 20 miles in Gloucester. The trail jumped a 5-foot fence and managed to go under 8-inch spaces. The strange hoof prints were found in the more parts of southern New Jersey. A group of observers in Camden, New Jersey, saw the devil. It barked at them and flew off into the air. See, so it's not just it
barked again.
Not just Mr. and Mrs. Evans getting barked at here by this this thing. Wednesday, this is the next day. And if I'm going, if you've got other ones before then, if you have dates, jump in. Wednesday, a Burlington police officer and Reverend John Purcell saw it. So you got a police officer and a reverend. Like, does it get more legit than that?
No. I mean, that's believable.
Right? You got to trust these guys.
They never lie.
Never. Reverend Purcell said, I've never seen anything like it before. Posses in Haddonfield found tracks that ended abruptly. Another posse in Collingswood, New Jersey, watched it fly off towards Morristown. Near Morristown, John Smith of Mapleshade saw the devil at Mount Carmel Cemetery, which is a very fitting place to see the devil, right? George Snyder saw it right after Mr. Smith, and their descriptions were identical. In Riverside, New Jersey, hoof prints were found on rooftops and also around a dead puppy. Mm-hmm. I no longer like the Jersey Devil because we kill puppies. You're just not cool anymore. So that was Wednesday. Jump into Thursday. The devil was seen by the Black Hawk Social Club. I want to know what the Black Hawk Social Club is. If you know, text us and let us know. It was also seen by a trolley full of people. So this is a whole trolley full of people in Clementine. As it circled above them, the witnesses' descriptions matched those from the day before. In Trenton, Councilman E.P. Whedon heard the flapping of wings and found hoof prints outside his front door. The prints were also found at an arsenal in Trenton. As the day wore on, the trolley in Trenton and in New Brunswick had armed drivers to ward off attacks. So news is spreading fast, and they're starting to put armed guards on all the trolleys to protect all their patrons. Chickens had been going missing all week throughout the Delaware Valley, but when farmers checked their yards, they often found the chickens were dead, if they found them at all. But some of them found them with no marks on them at all, just dead chickens, which is random. That's like alien stuff.
Yeah.
The West Collingswood Fire Department, so another reputable people, first responders. We love our first responders. They fired their hose at the devil. And it retreated at first, but then charged them and flew away at the last second. Later that night, Mrs. Solbinski of Camden heard a commotion in the yard. She opened her door to see the Jersey Devil standing there with her dog in its grip. See, again, leave the dogs alone, man. She hit the devil with a broom. I love this. This lady's got spunk. She hit the devil with a broom until it let go of her dog and flew away. She started screaming until the neighbors came over. 2 police officers arrived at the house where over 100 people had gathered. The crowd heard a scream coming from Kagan Hill, which is a neighboring hill. The mob ran toward the creature on the hill, and the police officers both shot at the devil, but yet it flew off into the night. Again, I'm sure they hit it, right? But the streets of Camden were pretty much empty after this. People went home and stayed home.
I did find, too, that 1909, there was a lot that happened in 1909. I know, but I'm going to go back. Is it okay to go back in time?
Let's go back in time.
Let's go back in time. So according...
Sorry, I had to.
Terry, could you beatbox for us now? Add some music here.
Whoa, too far back.
Okay, so according to documents from the Killian Foundation... Or Killian, I think, Foundation, the United States government sent officials to the Pine Barrows to research and to search for the Jersey Devil. It was referred to as the Jersey Devil Expedition of 1812. Do you believe that? I don't know if I do. But then ordered by it, but this expedition was apparently ordered by President James Monroe, and it does say that collaborative information has not been obtained to verify these claims, but there was stories during this expedition about a female Jersey Devil crashing through the roof where the expedition team was staying, and it was shot and killed, but only a claw and a tongue were collected. If I shot that, I think I would smell
shot and killed. Why are you not stuffing it?
What did they shoot it with? It
was like, I don't know.
Someone send you a device?
They were hungry. It was,
they got hungry.
They were on an expedition, but they did save the tongue.
Yeah.
And a claw.
Could it be they shot it with something that basically made it a whole thing explode like in the movies? And all that was left was a tongue and a claw?
Maybe. But see, that goes clear back to 1812. And that's not really talked about.
No.
Other than that. That's the earliest I could see it. Talked about.
Right.
Weird.
Well, it was because it didn't seem like until 1909 that this story itself took its own wings and flew.
So no pun intended.
No pun intended. Mm-hmm. So I think that's why there's very few reports before 1909. Because in 1909, they had over 1,000 reports just in January itself.
Yeah, it was crazy in 1909. Because
then after 1909, there wasn't a sighting for how long?
My next one's a little bit down the road, but
1927. Yeah,
and then
they extremely dropped off after 1909.
Yep.
Well, he was so busy in 1909 that he had to take a nap.
Well, another thing I saw too is that it was kind of like a campfire thing, a story you would tell to your kids or whatever to keep them in line.
Mm-hmm. Right, and I'd also heard of it being a story that they may have made up to keep their kids out of the Pine Barrens. So it was basically like a forest that was known to have bandits and thieves in it, and so if you had a story that would say don't go into the woods, you don't go into the woods.
The house where it was supposedly born still exists out there in the Pine Barrens. It's just rubble out there, but they still can go out there and show you this is the house where it was born.
I had seen one that showed a house, but then I'd seen another that just showed a foundation.
Yeah,
well, it's a stone foundation, and then there's like part of the chimney that's left. So there's not much left of the Leeds family home inside the Pine Barrens. But it is a real place.
Interesting.
So they know it's not just like Ernie Johnson's farmhouse that they're just like, oh, that's the house of so-and-so.
Yeah, I actually saw a documentary where they, I think he was 11th generation Leeds brought.
Oh, I saw that one too, where they walked him out there into the Pine Barrens and showed him where it was at.
Exactly.
Yeah. Does it make mention of it in the family Bible or anything?
I don't think so.
So, coming back up to 1909, then just a couple more sightings.
I think we're done with 1909.
No, there's some good. Okay, all right. Let's just do one more. Okay.
Pick wisely.
It's a police officer. Okay, you got to trust the police officers.
Do we?
I think so.
I don't know.
So, Camden, this is Friday the 22nd. Police officer Lou Estra, saw the devil drinking from a horse's throat. And the school at Mount Ephraim was closed because none of the students came in, so they had to shut down the school. Mills and factories in Gloucester and Haynesport had to close because none of their employees came to work. New Jersey residents wouldn't leave their houses even in daylight. Officer Merchant of Blackwood drew a sketch of the creature that he saw, and that you can find in Google. Apparently his sketch coincided with the earlier descriptions from throughout the week. And, yeah, so we'll ditch some of the rest of these.
There's just so many.
But, you know,
lots.
There were lots. And that's the thing that the point I want to make with that is that with that many sightings, I know that you can get some hysteria and some people to just go with it and just say, oh, yeah, I seen it too. I'm sure that's how they sounded. Exactly. Like, I seen it.
How many of them were drunk when they were?
Well, it's like
their
a bandwagon thing, though. Too. Yeah. You know, like you just jump on the bandwagon. Your mass story's got to outdo the previous person's story.
Yeah,
you know?
Just the mass hysteria of all of it happening.
But the thing is, if these stories were collected independently and they all had the same description, I have to put some sort of stock into they saw something.
Okay, now the police officer that you were just talking about, was that the one where he yelled into the woods to shake? If you're the devil, shake the chains. Okay, that's somebody else.
That one, I never saw a date on that one, but I do have that one. Do you want to talk about that one at all?
I was just seeing here. It says he just yelled into the woods. If it's true and you are the devil, rattle your chains. And all of his men swore they heard chains rattle.
Yeah, they chased it off a farm, and then they got to the woods. They're like, "Nope, I'm not going into the woods." And so he yelled at them, "And if it's true, you're the devil, shake your chains."
And apparently the devil always has chains.
I didn't know that. I thought it was just Jacob Marley.
Well, he carries them in his back pocket. Yeah. I mean, that's common knowledge.
I'll start carrying them in my back pocket then, okay?
Maybe the devil puts his chains on you and drags you down to hell. I don't know. But, yeah, so that's we'll leave that for the 99s. There's more, but we'll just abandon those for the sake of
time. You can go down a huge rabbit hole in 1909.
You can go way down. It's like a badger hole.
Yeah, bigger than a rabbit.
Or a giant bat's hole. It's like a bat. Come on. A kangaroo hole. All right, Elisa, you said you had 1927? Okay, I got a 25. Terry, you want to read the
25?
The 25, read the 25.
Sightings around livestock continued when a farmer saw a strange animal he could not identify attempting to steal his chickens. They're always after those chickens.
I know. Those
can you blame them, though?
Chickens is good.
Finger chicken nuggets.
Finger licking good.
Do chickens have nuggets?
They do.
I know where they're at.
Yes. Anyways, quick story. My scouts, when I was a scoutmaster, drew a picture and showed Terry where the nuggets come from on a chicken.
Okay, so a long time ago, Carl's Jr.'s whole branding was, do chickens have nuggets or where are the nuggets on a chicken? You know, because they were promoting their chicken strips. And so we were sitting there in Carl's Jr. and his lovely Boy Scouts drew me a picture of where the nuggets belong on a chicken. So...
Use your imagination.
Anyways, so he's trying to steal his chickens. He ran inside and got his rifle and shot the creature, killing it. He took photos of the corpse and showed it to over 100 people, but no one could identify what it was, which is interesting because earlier we were saying there's been no pictures provided of this.
Yeah, where's these pictures?
So where are these pictures?
Well, and how many people had cameras in 1925?
Right.
Is that a common thing in 1925 that you just run in the house and grab your camera?
Everybody had a 110 camera with the little square ball.
Okay.
I wasn't sure about when that was released.
I was going to say, I know the camera had been invented at that point, but I don't know,
It was like a big thing to go and get your picture taken at that point, though.
He's also the first report of somebody who actually had killed it. Everybody shot it, but it flew away, but... Yeah, he actually supposedly killed it. So what happened to it?
He ate it.
As a farmer, you eat my chickens, I eat you.
Because cameras, because you look, I just Googled what a camera in 1925 looks like. And there you go.
Very nice.
So it's not like...
Oh, so there kind of is handheld cameras.
They were handheld cameras, but they're...
It's not like they were high def, though. I mean, these are really...
Well, where's that picture then?
Considerably. Yeah. Exactly. Where are these
pictures? Where are the pictures?
It has to have survived somewhere. So, could it be true? I don't know. It could be. Elisa, 1927.
Okay, so, in 1927, a taxi driver got a flat tire in Salem City, and allegedly he encountered the Jersey Devil while he was changing his tire. And the man told the police that the winged creature was pounding on the roof of the cab, and he was hairy, and shook the car. And he said he guessed he needed or that the Jersey Devil really needed a ride that night.
Well, everyone needs a bit of a ride, right? Sometimes it's hard to hail a cab.
I saw that he left his jack and tire behind because he was so freaked out.
Yeah, could be.
Don't leave that stuff behind. That's valuable.
Well, wouldn't you? I mean, it would be a little bit terrifying if you had something jump up on your vehicle and start pounding on it.
Yeah.
Nowadays, that's just common. It's like it's like New York City, right?
Hey, I'm walking here.
Well, and they describe it as hairy, right? I mean, yeah. I mean, how many times have we had, as women, had? Never mind.
I am curious to know where you're going with this, Lara.
I can't remember.
I'm sure. Josh, what do you got?
All right, so in 1936, the characteristic screams were heard in the woods near Woodstown, New Jersey. So, I mean, you get some random stuff hearing in the woods, and you never know. I mean, it could be some strange creature that's, you know, making a weird noise, or it could be a mountain lion, or something else.
Some old constipated mountain man out there just...
Yeah.
or just some kids.
Get
just
out of me.
Being stinkers.
Yeah.
Well, exactly, because we're getting more into the modern era, right? 1920s and 30s and stuff. So, in 1951, near Gibbsboro, residents saw the devil numerous times over a two-day span. So, again, it's like you're getting into this time where technology is getting better, and yet still there's like no real evidence of everything.
Right.
Of anything.
And that's also a time where people tend to be a little bit more enlightened, more educated on animals. So it's not just like it's just people misidentifying animals. These are our parents.
Could you imagine if we had social media back then?
Oof.
Thank goodness we don't.
Wait, how long has the Inquirer been around?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Let's find that out.
They might have footage.
Inquiring minds want to know. Jamie's got it.
And then in 1953, Philip Smith, who was known as a sober and honest man, mm-hmm. saw the devil walking down the street. So I do like how they said sober and honest.
Sober and honest.
Why would they bring that up? My mind wouldn't go, was he sober or was he honest? I think they're trying to compensate there.
They might be. Maybe they were saying was sober at the time.
He does protest too much.
And it was on a Sunday. Oh. After mass,
I'll bet that's what they're referring to.
And then we got in 1961, two couples were parked in a car mm-hmm. in the Pine Barrens. They heard a loud screeching noise outside. Suddenly, the roof of the car was smashed in. They fled the scene, but returned later, and again they heard the loud screech and saw a creature flying along the trees, taking out huge clumps of bark as it went along.
So this sounds like your typical teenager story. Dad, I wrecked the car, but I didn't do it. It wasn't me.
It was the Jersey Devil.
The Jersey Devil hit us. We were just parked, I promise. So that goes into like the teenagers to me.
Well, they didn't say exactly how old the two couples were, so or was it parked during the day or night? So that could be a very like scandalous story for 1961.
So we got a couple more here. Who wants to go?
You want me?
Go, Terry.
In 1966, the Jersey Devil is blamed for raiding a farm and killing 31 ducks, 3 geese, 4 cats, and 2 dogs. But no chickens.
And a partridge and a pear tree.
No chickens. One of the dogs was a large German shepherd that had its throat ripped out.
Again, with the dogs. I've not heard one report of a cat being killed.
Right
what
here.
The heck?
Right here.
4 it's cats.
Oh, no, that's right. There was 4 cats.
There was 4 cats. 31 okay. ducks. And then,
but no chickens, you're right.
But so this is the one thing I noticed from an earlier story is that it would kill the animals and then just leave them. So it wasn't killing them to eat them all the time. It was just killing them to kill them.
Just for sport.
And then just leave it. What a waste of meat. And that's just bad.
Okay. And then in 81, another couple spotted the devil at a lake in
I was
Atlantic
alive in 81,
County.
So this is like legitimate times now.
Yeah. And then the last, is this the last sighting that we have?
That's the last one I've got there, yeah.
In 1997, an aggressive German shepherd was found torn apart and its body gnawed upon. The body was 25 feet from the chain he had been hooked up to. Around the body were strange tracks that no one could identify.
But yet they didn't say they were hoofs, the hoof tracks, the hoof marks. curious.
Maybe they've never seen a bear
you
before.
You know what? Just dawned on me. So could it be that, like, Santa Claus could be behind it with all these hoof prints everywhere?
Yeah.
Just saying.
Rudolph.
And all of me, like, all these different towns, like, maybe Santa was just late that year?
And so he killed some...
Or maybe the reindeer just, like, went rogue and, like, took off with the sleigh and, like, a week after Christmas.
They got
and,
rabies.
Yeah, they got tracks everywhere.
Could have been Krampus.
Oh, yeah. Krampus.
He's got those cloven hooves.
So nothing's been spotted since 1997.
I hate it when I get the Krampus. Well, nothing that is on...
Nothing, no 2000, no nothing.
Nothing that I have seen yet. But I'm sure they have been. I'm just... Maybe people... And here's the other thing to think about, too, is if you saw something weird like that in this day and age where everything is, like, you know, just ripped upon, would you want to say anything? I don't know that I would. I think I'd be a lot more...
Elisa's got some.
Oh, Elisa's got one.
So one of the most recent sightings occurred in Galloway Township in October of 2015. Little Egg Harbor resident David Black said he was driving along Route 9 near a golf course when he saw what he had thought was a llama walking in and out of the tree line on the side of the road. Suddenly, the creature spread its wings and flew away. He captured the beast's image with his cell phone, and the photo went viral.
Mm.
Where's that photo?
Is that this one?
That's not the one. Josh just showed me one on his tablet that looks like a goat flying kind of like a Pegasus, but yet it's like this flying goat with, like, it's got it hooked on, like, some sort of cables or something.
No, it looks like one of those miniature horses with...
Did you guys see the video of the one coming out of the sky and dropping down? Did you see that?
No.
There is a video of this that they think might be the Jersey Devil.
One? I wonder if it's this one.
It could be
right
Batman.
Now.
And it really is very realistic. I think you should look that up.
Yeah, it's a video. Yep.
See, the hard part is it does get more... In this day and age, everything can be faked so easily with computers... That I don't know what I trust.
Well, and I was being sarcastic. It does not look realistic at all.
Yeah, well, because you have photo editing and Photoshop and all that kind of stuff where people can make anything seem real.
That's true.
Now there is a movie, actually a feature movie that came out about the Jersey Devil.
Ooh,
it's a solid C movie at best. I forget what it's called, but I did watch a trailer for it, and it looked like an ox. Kind of a thing with, like, sharp teeth. It's like rah, a very, very big and scary looking thing. It was more about the, and then, like, the dad loses his mind. He's the only one who can see it at first, and so they're out camping, and yeah. Anybody have any other sightings they wanted to share?
I don't have a sighting, but I have something that might be kind of fun. Now, I haven't checked this out myself, but apparently back in October 31st of 08, as a Halloween treat, Bruce Springsteen released a song about the Jersey Devil. He said, "Dear friends and fans, if you grew up in Central or South Jersey, you grew up with the Jersey Devil." He says, "Here's a musical Halloween treat. Have fun, Bruce Springsteen." So I'm sure if you, I Googled that, so I'm sure if you look it up, you could probably...
Ooh, we're listening to that tonight.
Right,
it's
exactly.
It's a musical treat?
Yeah, it's like beans? He wrote a song and it's a video where
aren't beans
in
a musical treat.
Those two, but but he portrays the Jersey Devil in this music video, apparently. So go check it out, guys.
I'm gonna have to watch that one.
It also was investigated by the FBI, and then if you guys can't see, there's the air quotes of the FBI as Mulder and Scully.
Oh yeah, there it was on. It was an episode on X-Files.
Yeah,
and I did remember that.
And that is actually where I actually first heard of the Jersey Devil was from that episode of
the
X-Files.
The ending of the episode was awful.
I don't even remember it.
How do you even remember that?
What's X-Files? Just kidding.
So I do know that there were people that tried to claim that the noises they heard was like a sandhill crane or...
The Great Horned Owl.
The Great Horned Owl. But here's a theory for you. Have you guys ever looked up a picture of an African hammerhead bat?
Everybody pause the podcast and go Google it now.
Go look up. Okay, so I know that you would think African bat in New Jersey, how would it survive in that kind of environment when it's from Africa? But there was a lot of trading and importing and stuff happening and ships coming into New Jersey from Africa during some of this time period. And there is a possible, when you have like, you know, a whole bunch of sightings all at one time, that maybe it was this bat that got off of this ship. And if you go and look at a picture of a hammerhead bat, it's creepy looking. I just showed it to Elisa.
It looks a lot.
And it like looks a lot describe. Like what people are describing. A lot. So that could be where there's like an increase of sightings at one time where this bat came across from this ship from Africa, was alive for, you know, for a couple months or whatever, and then either probably passed away because it couldn't survive in that environment. Couldn't survive a winter in New Jersey.
Well, there's also a picture or a theory out there that is actually a Dimorphodon, which is a...
Sounds like a dinosaur.
It is. So it was a dinosaur, kind of bird-like, but had that kind of similar features of what the Jersey Devil would have looked like. The only thing is the Dimorphodon was a European dinosaur.
It could have migrated. Swallows migrate to the south, and yet they're not strangers to our land.
Well, to go back,
maybe they brought coconuts with them.
To go back to the bat idea, if you think about it, people have people use their imaginations. Like when you talk about something that you've seen, something that was actually like a foot long was probably 5 feet tall, you know. And so, if you think about it, when you tell a story over again, and all these people, all these people are seeing this bat that's been flying around, and like, it was 5 feet long, it was 10 feet tall, you know, or whatever, just because their imaginations are going crazy at that point.
Yeah, totally.
Absolutely.
The only concern is that the noises that bat makes do not match the description of what people heard.
Well, they could have been hearing people in the outhouse, too, because, I mean, that was back...
Is that where the barking's coming from?
Those are barking spiders.
But to take it on a different spin, like we've covered like the plausible things such as creatures and dinosaurs, but I mean, people are still seeing something out in the woods, right? And so you got to wonder if it hasn't come to a point now where, in a paranormal sense, that something has now been brought to life in its sense, like a topa,
right?
So is what they're, you know, if enough people believe that it actually exists, can they actually bring it into existence? And so that makes you wonder, what are they actually seeing now? And is it actually something that, you know, it's not maybe 300 years old, but maybe much more like 20, 30 years old?
Or is there something that's actually legitimately there? I mean, that's just like Bigfoot, right? There's Bigfoot sightings continuously, yet nobody's ever really got a good picture of it. A good picture. I'm going to say good pictures. Nobody's ever caught evidence. Nobody's ever found a dead one. Nobody's ever... people still see him.
I have another thought, too. Because if this thing has been around for how many hundreds of years?
260 now.
Okay, so if it's been around for 260 years, it had to have procreated at some point. And if it has...
a swan?
And if it has, wouldn't there be more sightings? Wouldn't there be, like, maybe multiples at the same time? Or, like, more than just one at a single event?
Well, from what I've gathered, at least with the pine burns where this has been sighted, it's actually a pretty thickly wooded area, and it's quite large, so it's not like you can go tromping easily through it. So it could be warranted that maybe there are, but it's just a lot harder to see them because it's so much...
Yeah, but like when you see birds fly, you generally don't just see one. You see more than...
A flock of seagulls.
But what if they're solitary, like
true.
Mountain lions.
True, true.
I saw a flock of seagulls once. You know what I did? I ran. I ran so far away.
That's your one dad joke. You're done.
You might think I have ADD, but I don't.
But I think there's actually a much more, sinister... side to this actual story.
I would say plausible, too.
Are we going to talk about Quakers?
We are.
Yeah. Mm. I think, honestly...
Quaker oatmeal?
I think it tends to...
where it came from.
To me, this almost seems like the much more credible story, honestly. It just makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, it does, and it also kind of explains, like, if this thing was... If you look at the stories, right, like, the origin of it would have been 1732, 1735. But why is it not that there's a ton of any real sightings until 1909? So, like, this actually gives the credibility to this huge gap.
Yeah, and it did start out as the Leeds Devil, just for clarification. It wasn't the Jersey Devil at first. It was the Leeds Devil. And then about that turn of the century, 1900, is when it started being referred to more as the Jersey Devil rather than just the Leeds, because the sightings kind of spread out more. But, yeah, so I've got some here. In fact, it was so good, I actually printed it, and I'm going to read it. I hate to admit what I'm going to read.
Uh-oh.
But it's probably sound horrible if I just try to paraphrase. But this was found on the interwebs, so it must be true.
It's the source of all knowledge and truth.
It is, right? It's the oracle.
There are no lies on the internet.
Right. Love it. So, Mother Leeds, going back to the original point there. Mother Leeds has been identified by some as Deborah Leeds, and that name did come up earlier, on the grounds that Deborah Leeds' husband, Japhet, you know, named the 12 children in the will. But a historian at Keihan University theorizes that the story of Mother Leeds, rather than being based on a single historical person, actually originated from colonial southern New Jersey religio-political disputes. So these are religious and political disputes, right? Which, I believe this stuff, because what do we see today? You know, I mean, even the Crusades were religious disputes, you know, and political disputes. So it makes sense to me that these disputes, and they became the subject of folklore and gossip among the local population because of that. So according to Brian Regal, and you found the same research from this guy.
Yep.
According to Regal, folk legends concerning these historical disputes evolved through the years and ultimately resulted in the modern popular legend of the Jersey Devil during the early 20th century. And so it's all based off of this, Regal contends. He says, in that area of colonial political intrigue, involved early New Jersey politicians Benjamin Franklin. We've all heard of that guy. And Franklin's rival, almanac publisher Daniel Leeds. So Leeds lived from 1651 to 1720. He had a son that carried on his legacy, but this rivalry resulted in the Leeds being described by Franklin as monsters. And it was Daniel Leeds' negative description as the Leeds Devil, rather than actually any creature, that created the later legend of the Jersey Devil. Much like the Mother Leeds of the Jersey Devil myth, Daniel Leeds' third wife had given birth to 9 children, a large number of children, even before that, you know, for that time it was a large number. Leeds' second wife and first daughter had both died during childbirth. And as a royal surveyor, along with strong allegiance to the British crown, Leeds had also surveyed and acquired land in the Egg Harbor area, located within the Pine Barrens. The land was inherited by the Leeds sons and family, and is known as Leeds Point because of that. One of the areas in the Pine Barrens currently most associated with the Jersey Devil legend and sightings has always been that Leeds Point. Starting in the 17th century, English Quakers established settlements in southern New Jersey and the region, and in the region which the Pine Barrens are located. Daniel Leeds was a Quaker and a prominent person of pre-revolution colonial southern New Jersey, and he became ostracized by his Quaker congregation after his 1687 publication of almanacs contained astrological symbols and writings. I want to know what these were. If it was just like a horoscope, like, you know, here's your horoscope.
Well,
if you're a Leo, you're going to find love out behind the woodpile.
The problem is that, you know, while he was ostracized for it, they also destroyed his entire library of them and burnt them to the ground. So he really... really made them mad, and in consequence they took it out. And so there are no historical evidence or written almanacs that have survived.
And they felt, and the reason why they burned all these things and destroyed everything was because they felt that these almanacs were began to be, with all the astrology, they began to be too pagan or blasphemous, and so they censored them, and they thought that it was going to destroy their community, which Quakers are pretty conservative, a lot of people. So, in response to it, and in spite of the censorship, Leeds continued to publish even more esoteric astrological Christian writings, and became increasingly fascinated with Christian occultism, Christian mysticism, cosmology, demonology, and angelology. It's a lot of ologies. And natural magic, which almost sounds like he became a witch. Can we burn her?
A witch. Does she float?
A witch. In the 1690s, after his almanacs and writings were further censored and as blasphemous and heretical by the Philadelphia Quaker meeting, Leeds continued to dispute with the community, and then he actually converted to Anglicanism and continued to publish anti-Quaker tracts. So he left the church and then turned against them, which again would be a reason for them to have some ire towards the guy.
You can't really blame him, though. It's like they basically destroyed all of the work that he had done. So
they did.
I mean, well, that's going to cause some pretty hard feelings.
So there's that religious part, but there's also the political stuff, too, with it. He accused the Quakers of being anti-monarchists. Now, you got to remember, at this time, this isn't the United States of America or the colonies. This is England.
It wasn't even New Jersey at the
time. Yeah, this is the English colonies. This is England, right? So they had the king. And Leeds, see, in the ensuing dispute between Leeds and the southern New Jersey Quakers over his accusations, Leeds was endorsed by the much maligned British royal governor of New Jersey, Lord Cornbury, and he was actually despised among the Quaker communities. Why is everybody laughing? What am I missing?
Nothing.
They're all laughing at me around my back, and nobody has the guts to say anything to my face.
I'm making treachery. Faces at Jamie.
Treachery. Heretics. All of you.
You sound like the king.
Yes, right.
Speak of the devil.
All hail Lord Mikey.
That's right. I am a lord. Respect. Respect my authority. Considering Leeds as a traitor because of his loyalty to the royal governor and for aiding the crown and rejecting the Quaker beliefs, the Quaker Burlington meeting, so I guess another meeting, they dismissed him as evil, quote unquote. During 1716, Leeds' son Titan. So this is cool. This guy's name is named as some Titan, bound to be a magnet, right, of industry or papers. He inherited his father's almanac business, he continued to use astrological content, and he eventually competed with Benjamin Franklin's popular Poor Richard's Almanac, which came about in 1732.
Yeah, and I mean, take a look at the interesting notation there. Is he was printing his almanacs beforehand. Ben Franklin comes in 1732, which just so happens to be the origin date of the Leeds Devil when this child was born.
Yeah, nothing was being reported until Benjamin Franklin pops in. I'm not saying Ben Franklin's a bad guy. Just because he's a bad guy doesn't mean he's a bad guy. We'll throw out to Wreck-It Ralph there for all you parents. Okay. So, but yeah, the competition between the two men intensifies. In 1733, Franklin satirically used astrology in his... So he used astrology satirically in his almanac to predict Titan Leeds' death. So Franklin's making fun of, he's kind of like the Quaker guy making fun of, with his almanac, making fun of the guy that's using cosmology and astrology. And so he's like, all right, well, let's predict Titan's death in ours. That's what the stars are saying now. Well, that goes off popularly, right? Titan Leeds, he was projected to die in October of that same year. Though Franklin's prediction was intended as a joke at his competitor's expense, and a means to boost almanac sales, Titan Leeds was apparently offended at the death prediction and began publishing and published an admonition of Franklin as a fool and a liar. In a published response, Franklin mocked Titan Leeds, his outrage, and humorously suggested that, in fact, that Titan Leeds had died in accordance with the earlier prediction and was thus writing his almanacs as a ghost, resurrected from the grave to haunt and torment Franklin. Franklin continued to jokingly refer to Titan Leeds as a ghost even after Titan Leeds' actual death during 1738. Daniel Leeds' blasphemous and occultist reputation and his pro-monarchy stance in a largely anti-monarchist colonial South, combined with Benjamin Franklin's later continuous depiction that Titan Leeds as a ghost might have originated to the popular legend of the so-called Leeds Devil lurking in the Pine Barrens. Another interesting thing, and this is where I think it's the most interesting part of this whole story with this. In 1728, Titan Leeds began to include the Leeds family crest on the masthead of his almanac. So this is before Ben Franklin. Okay. So here, this crest is on top of all the almanacs. So the Leeds family crest is depicted as a wyvern, and I'm not sure what that is. I didn't look it up, but it is described. So go ahead.
Yeah, it's a creature that has wings and walks on two legs and has a funky head. And so if you look at the actual pictures of the almanac, it looks a lot like the representation of what the original Leeds Devil reports were coming out as.
And at that time, with that political stuff, you know, who had crests? Rich people, noble people, right? So right. If you're an anti-monarchist, you know, you're about, you're looking at this guy as this snob. And so it's like the House of Slytherin, right? He's a snake, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. So, but I think that's the most interesting thing with it, is that this crest is on there, and then all of a sudden, you know, he's being facilitated, and the legend comes about him being devils and monsters. So what the actual Jersey Devil was is hard to say. Could be that folks 200 to 300 years ago were just really bad at identifying animals, especially ones they're unfamiliar with. Could be that they're, you know, stories that were made up by the British settlers to keep their kids in line, keep people out of the Pine Barrens, keep them home after dark. I know, but people seem to see something out there. And so, what it was, I don't know.
The truth is out there.
The truth is out there. But here's one of the things that is kind of cool, that just to mention, you know, in today's day and age, you know, we mentioned Bruce Springsteen, you know, made musical treats and referenced it. Terry, tell us about hockey.
What all do you want to know?
Well, geez, you had a little bit of notes on it. Terry, when I met Terry, she had season tickets to a local hockey team.
That I did.
So she's obviously cool. So,
how much history do you want me to give you?
Brief.
Because I can tell you where it all started before they got to New Jersey. Because they originally the team started in 1974 in Kansas City as the Scouts. Then they relocated to Denver as the Colorado Rockies. And then in 82, they relocated again to New Jersey, where they had a fan contest to name the team in New Jersey. And it was all voted upon, and they all picked to name them the New Jersey Devils. So it was fan-picked by the state, which I think is pretty cool. And then, because it was, yeah. And they have home to my favorite goalie, Marty Brodeur, with an astonishing NHL record of 552 wins. For a goalie.
Most winningest goalie ever.
Ever.
So, named after a demon.
If you're not a hockey fan, I encourage you to convert.
Well, the Vegas Knights goalie's not far behind him. He's catching up. He's working on it. Fleury's getting there. And Marty Brodeur actually was drafted. I can't remember what round he was drafted, but he was drafted straight to New Jersey. Played for New Jersey all the way up. Until his last year he was in the NHL was with another team. So he basically spent his whole career with the New Jersey Devils. There's my hockey.
Very cool. She wanted to talk about hockey.
Well, it's actually not surprising that the fans voted for the Jersey Devil.
Yeah.
Because the Jersey Devil is the only state-recognized demon in all 50 states.
That's cool.
So most people have a state flower, state bird.
It's actually recognized as a demon.
It's state demon.
Yeah, according to the Pinelands Preservation Alliance.
How come we don't have one of those in Utah? I mean, come on.
We have several demons here.
I know. So, one more thing that was really interesting was this last week. Okay, this is, we're recording this on a Saturday. Within the last, 3 days, Six Flags in New Jersey completed the track for their new roller coaster, which is called the Jersey Devil.
I saw that.
It's supposed to be pretty scary.
We should go.
So
let's let them finish it first. I don't want to go just yet.
So it really seems like now that the Jersey Devil in itself, whether it does exist or not, and I don't want to trash on any of our New Jersey listeners and say it's not real.
We love you.
We do love you. But it seems like the state in itself is starting to cash in on that name and that brand, and it's becoming its own marketing ploy.
Well, why not? You know, they should.
Well, spoken like a true fan. But it's really no different, though, right? I mean, we have in Utah here, we have a place called Bear Lake. It's home to a cryptid that is believed to be the, I think it's called the Bear Lake Monster.
I've seen it. I seen it.
It's a sister to Nessie.
So, which, the funny thing is that Bear Lake isn't like attached to the ocean by any means. It's a land lake.
There's an underground cavern.
Haven't you heard how deep this lake is? And then,
See, there we go into portals.
It's all connected and interdimensional in tunnels and
time warps.
There's
a devil picked it up. Oh, we have gotten off track so far.
I'll say this. My ancestors helped settle the Bear Lake Valley. There you can find them in pretty much every town up there, in every cemetery. Not one mention in any of the journals about the Bear Lake Monster.
Nope.
Just saying.
But it does come down to a very good marketing ploy if you want people to come out and hang out, right?
Right. So. All right, with that, we're going to call it for the devil.
Can I just thank Jamie for the Twizzlers?
My pleasure.
Thank you. Also, I want to wish Josh a happy birthday. Yay. And I want to wish Josh and Jamie a happy anniversary. Aww, it's been a fun week for them. Woohoo!
Yep, 16 years of marriage.
16 years of putting up with your crap, dude.
I think I've met our contract.
that doesn't sound good.
Happy anniversary.
He's going to see what he can do to re-up for another 16.
And what are we going to do to celebrate this anniversary?
To celebrate, we are going down to the Petite Neat Museum in Payson, Utah. Woo-hoo! For our first cold spot paranormal research investigation with our new team.
And when are we going, Josh?
As soon as we pack up.
Right now.
Yeah, let's go. See ya. Bye.
Bye.
So, sorry, we'd love to talk more, but we got stuff to do.
Tune in next time.
And that's cool. Next time, let's talk about our investigation and what we find. Hopefully, we got good stuff to talk about. Otherwise, it might be a really short podcast.
Well, here's to hoping.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Paranormal Peeps Podcast. You can find us on social media at Twitter at CPR Paranormal, on Facebook at Paranormal Peeps Podcast, and Cold Spot Paranormal Research. And you can find us on Instagram at Cold Spot _Paranormal _Research.